Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the first lesson that we heard this evening from 2 Samuel are truly excellent words to go back and read with all that's going on around us. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. King David wrote those words. David faced a terrible situation with Saul, the king of Israel, and the whole army of Israel out to get him, literally. For years, he had to live on the run. He had to live in hiding, in isolation from Israel. He had to gather a band of stragglers and malcontents and foreigners as his only allies. He could do all that. He could live like that for so long because he had a promise from the Lord that he would one day sit on the throne of Israel. Armed with that promise, he trusted that the Lord would shield him through all the danger, would shield him from harm in order to keep his promise. He had confidence that his enemies would not be victorious over him, for as much as they chased him and persecuted him, he could endure all the hardships he had to, because he trusted in that promise. And, of course, his confidence proved to be well-founded. Now, those were earthly enemies from whom the Lord had delivered David so that he wrote this psalm of praise to the Lord for his deliverance. God had delivered David according to his promise. Well, we have earthly promises from God too. Promises of earthly deliverance and earthly rewards as we trust in Him and as we live as those who trust in Him. Though the promises that we have from Him are not nearly as specific as they were to David. David was assured a place on the throne of Israel as king. God has not promised any of us even one more day on this earth. That's the way it is. We have promises, but not as specific. But here's what we can say. Our times are in God's hands. And we can say that and live like that and take comfort in that because of the promises God has given for an even greater deliverance and for even greater rewards. St. Paul deals with those promises in our second lesson. The law of Moses, Paul says, made its own promises. The man who does those things shall live by them. That's not a promise that comes from grace. Grace is God's free of charge favor. The law doesn't include favor, doesn't require favor or kindness or mercy. It's a simple transaction. It's a simple bargain. You do your part. You pay the price of doing everything the law commands. Loving God wholeheartedly, loving your neighbor in all the ways God commands you to love your neighbor. And then God will do His part. He'll pay you the wages you've earned. You shall live, He says. You won't die, ever, at all. You won't suffer. You won't get sick. You won't be harmed. Great promises, but good luck fulfilling your end of the bargain. To date, no one ever has, except for Jesus. That's why St. Paul urges people so urgently to abandon the law as the way to avoid death and to obtain life, as the way to satisfy the God who controls the door to heaven. Stop trying to offer Him your supposed goodness. Stop despairing over your very real badness. And listen to the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth a person confesses, resulting in salvation. The word of faith, Paul calls it, the message of faith. This is the gospel in a nutshell, just as much as John 3:16 is and other similar passages. It's a beautiful summary of everything God has revealed about how he wants to save you, how he wants to rescue us all from sin, death, and the devil. He wants us to confess, as Peter did, that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants us to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, which means we also have to believe that he was delivered over to death for our sins, and that his death was what satisfies God. His was the death that fulfilled what the law demanded. God wants you to believe that it is through faith in Christ that he justifies you and frees you from the condemnation of eternal death. He also wants you to confess this with your mouth. And what better time to do it than now? We confess that Jesus is the Lord just by being here this evening in this large group of more than 10 people. We confess it as most of the world cowers in fear. While some cower in fear, others boast of their cleverness in knowing just what to do to escape all harm. What better time than this Lenten season to confess that Christ took all our sicknesses, sufferings, and even death on himself to free us from the fear of death, from the fear of all things, from the slavery to fear and to death. What better time to confess that God has raised Jesus from the dead than on Easter, when even many churches will close their doors voluntarily? We know that the risen Christ reigns at God's right hand over life and over death. God wants all people to believe this, to call upon Christ Jesus as Lord, and to know that by believing in him we're safe. Safe and saved from everything that could harm us. We Christians want all people to believe that too. But as Paul points out, no one can believe it unless they hear it, unless they hear the gospel, what is preached. No one can hear it unless a preacher has been sent to preach it. Faith comes from hearing what is preached, and the preaching comes through the word of God. That verse sounds a little bit different to you than other versions that you've heard before. It's a hard verse to translate, as I've been trying to translate these verses for the past few months. Because what Isaiah says is, Lord, who has believed our preaching, hearing, report? It all means the same thing in Greek. And then Paul goes on and says, so faith comes by preaching, hearing, report. And that comes through the word of God. But it is the preached word which people have to hear. We all understand that. Which creates faith, which the Holy Spirit uses to create faith. So we will keep preaching that word. And if you can't come to church for a time because you're sick, or you can't travel, or because you're concerned about your health, so be it. You'll have to hear what is preached from home, and there are good ways to do that. It doesn't fulfill all the purposes for which we gather, but it does fulfill some. If you're healthy, as far as you know, and can come to church, then it's a good time to come. This is the church's opportunity to shine in a dark world and to confess the power of Christ, the risen Lord Christ, while others rely on the power of man to keep ourselves safe. Regardless of who comes, the gospel will continue to be preached from this pulpit until God himself makes it impossible for me to do it. Because no government, no society, no man at all will be able to be your savior from sickness or from death or from eternal condemnation in hell. Only God can save you, and he will, through Jesus Christ our Lord and through the word of faith which we preach. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.